You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. At the height of the pandemic, protections were put in place on both the local and state level to keep millions of people from losing housing. And this was at a time when many were just unable to work in the spirit of public health. But these eviction protections were far from perfect, and they came with pushback from landlord groups about having to financially shoulder the brunt of these economic challenges. Now we're seeing the consequences of that strain. CalMatters took a look at data across the state and found that in the year since pandemic-era renter protections largely ended, evictions across the state have dramatically increased. And some eviction rates, including in Sacramento County, have surpassed levels before the pandemic. Jeannie Kwong is a reporter with CalMatters and has been analyzing this rise in eviction case filings and joins us now about what this means for both landlords and renters. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start with some quick background, because a lot has happened, you know, in the nearly 4 years since, you know, a stay-at-home order was put in place. So the eviction moratorium was really widespread across California following the governor's executive order, which officially declared a state of emergency during the pandemic. What impact did this have for renters across California?
Yeah, the eviction moratorium was statewide. It went through June 2022, so more than 2 years, and it essentially halted or put a pause on eviction cases that had to do with non-payment of rent if the tenant said that they couldn't pay due to financial impacts from the pandemic. And that just went on for quite a while. And then there were also several cities and counties that had their own protections kick in after June 2022. And a lot of those sort of slowly started expiring earlier this year. So now we're seeing case filings in those places really spike since their moratoria ended.
Wait, when that was actually put in place, because this spanned over 2 years, was this just a blanket ban on evictions?
No, there were a few months towards the beginning where it was closer to that. And then for the most part, it was just on non-payment cases. And so there were other filings of evictions and thousands of people were evicted during that period of time under some of the other exceptions that you could. For example, if you said that you were doing substantial renovations to the home or something like that. But for the most part, the moratorium that limited non-payment of rent cases, it did drop eviction filings to record lows for those 2 years. Mm.
Given that renter protections have existed prior to the pandemic in California, how was this moratorium different?
Well, most eviction case filings are for the non-payment of rent. So this, you know, the limits really took out a substantial portion of those types of cases.
Mm. You know, before the pandemic, how common were evictions in California?
Eviction filings were steadily dropping from like a really high level in the years following the Great Recession. And then I looked at about 10 years of data, and they were really year after year on average steadily dropping across the state. And I think what's concerning about the past year is that we might be seeing a reversal of that trend now. I think I would want to wait for, you know, another few months or another year of data to see long term what's happening. But it is kind of an interesting reversal that we might be seeing right now.
So you've been seeing an increase or even a spike in eviction filings across the state. I mean, how does that shape up? You looked at like more than a dozen of the largest counties in California.
Yeah. And just to be clear, I want to kind of add the caveat. These are eviction case filings, so it doesn't necessarily mean that the person got locked out, but it starts the clock on a, you know, process in court where somebody could get evicted or they could perhaps like agree to move out as part of a settlement. So yeah, most places that had the moratorium end last summer saw a spike in filings last fall. So maybe about a year ago around this time. And then in some of the smaller counties, those numbers have kind of evened out or maybe even dipped a little below the pre-pandemic average from 2019. And then in some of the counties that did have protections that lasted longer than the statewide moratorium, those are now seeing their spikes in case filings, you know, a few months after their local moratorium ended. So everybody is experiencing a spike right after whatever moratorium applies to their county ends. And then there were also a few counties that I thought were significant in that they had the statewide moratorium end over a year ago, didn't have any additional moratoria in their local cities or counties, and they're still seeing elevated numbers and compared to, you know, the 2019 pre-pandemic average. And some of those places include Santa Clara County, Contra Costa County, and also Sacramento County.
So obviously this moratorium was put in place to protect renters from losing housing. But what did you learn from landlords or property owners about how it impacted them? Because some still had to pay mortgage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think many, many landlords, perhaps even most landlords that you talk to, they'll say that those moratoria were overly broad. You know, kind of everybody has these anecdotes from their own experiences, whether it was the rental assistance from the state being slow to come through to them, or, you know, they would say that the economy had already kind of recovered by a certain point and they had tenants who were working or appeared to have income and yet were not paying. And so some landlords were saying that these moratorias kind of gave them no recourse when they themselves were also, you know, not making their income here.
Given that you've been following this for quite some time, you know, once the moratoria expired, whether at the state or the local level, were you surprised that eviction case filings increased, or was this something that you anticipated?
No, I don't think anybody should be that surprised to see some increase in cases. I think the more surprising part is, like I said, in those areas that didn't have any limits for a while now, that we haven't seen those numbers peter out in some of these counties. Like I said, Santa Clara County, Sacramento County, you know, these areas are still seeing elevated filings despite the quote unquote return to normal more than a year ago. Elevated, by that I mean compared to pre-pandemic averages. So I think that is kind of surprising, and I'd like to kind of watch how long it takes for those numbers to return to normal, if at all.
What stands out to you about Sacramento County? Because they're outlier in this, at least currently when looking at 2023. It was, as you mentioned, Santa Clara County as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know kind of the granular level details of each county and why things might remain elevated. But, you know, one of the suggestions that tenant advocates said might drive some of these increases is current rent increases. You know, rent, we know that because of inflation from the past year, rent has been allowed to increase more than it normally did under state tenant protection laws. So that could be part of what's driving increased inability by tenants on tenants' parts to not be able to afford rent in certain places. That might be part of it. And then there are also some areas that have a right to counsel for tenants to get a lawyer that's paid for by the public to help defend them in eviction court, and that doesn't exist here. So you don't have that guaranteed defense, and it is very easy without an attorney to lose a case.
Can all of this be solely attributed to the pandemic, or are there other factors at play that's contributing to this?
Well, I definitely think because the moratorium went on for so long, and that was because of the pandemic, you know, whatever, I think that that might have lasting effects on the rental market. Another thing is that as the moratoria were expiring over the past year, a bunch of other programs were expiring as well, and those were also from the pandemic. But a lot of those programs, whether it's expanded food stamp benefits, kind of loosened eligibility, so to speak, for the Medi-Cal health program. There was a lot of aid during the pandemic that kept families afloat during all this economic turmoil. And a lot of that was also expiring along with record inflation in the past year as these moratoria were expiring. So it could be that all of these things were kind of happening at the same time.
Yeah, like a cascading impact.
Yeah.
You know, I was also looking at your numbers, you know, because Sacramento County was an outlier on having a higher increase in eviction case filings. But others in our area, like San Joaquin County and Stanislaus County, they fared better. They're actually like in a negative percentile. I mean, was that surprising to you, given that they are neighboring counties?
Yeah, it was kind of surprising. There are some areas that remain or kind of maybe never even returned to pre-pandemic levels. Some of the smaller counties, that kind of happened across the board in the smaller counties that I looked at.
When you talk to landlord groups, property owners, I mean, what did you learn about the argument for filing these eviction cases?
Yeah, I heard a lot of things. Most of them said that this is just kind of catching up from the past few years for people who, you know, either they were unable to qualify for rental assistance to pay those rent arrears or just weren't paying rent during that time. And then I've also heard that there were many cases that piled up that had to do with, you know, behavioral issues or other kinds of reasons for wanting to evict a tenant that they were kind of felt like they were unable to serve during the moratoria. It just seems like there was a lot of misunderstanding on all parts about like whether or not you had to pay rent, whether or not you could evict anyone for any reason. And so a lot of the landlord groups are saying this is just kind of catch up and it will even out after a few months after the moratoria end. And so I guess we'll see.
So it may just be, you know, a relatively immediate spike that will level off and not really signifying more of a continued upward trend.
You know, that's what I kind of thought would be the case in most places. But because there are those areas that where the filings do remain elevated, I think we'll have to wait and see.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jeannie Kwong, a reporter with CalMatters, about spikes in the rate of eviction filings in some California counties since COVID-era moratoriums were lifted. I mean, Jeannie, and I know you're aware of this, this also comes as California is grappling with a growing unhoused population. We saw the largest increase of homelessness than any other state during a period that included the pandemic. What impact could these case filings have on this?
Yeah, there was a national social sciences study from earlier this year that found that an uptick in eviction case filings, they associated it with a slight uptick in the population of homeless people living in shelters. So it's definitely, it can be for many people like the kind of first step towards becoming unhoused to be evicted. And then the other thing is that people who lose in eviction court, so these case filings are all sealed, but people who lose in eviction court have that eviction on their record. And that makes it, you know, especially in a tight rental market, mm-hmm. makes it really hard to find housing again.
I mean, you were just mentioning even during the moratoria, it was a confusing process to know, you know, what your rights were as a renter or as a landlord. I would imagine the legal process surrounding an eviction case filing can also be complicated. What did you learn about how people are navigating this via the court system?
Yeah, I mean, you have to respond within 5 days if you're served with a case filing. And from what I heard from tenants' attorneys, of which there are very few across the state, it's just a very fast timetable from their end as the defendant in the case. And if you kind of don't know to respond right away or can't make it by that deadline, it all kind of spirals from there. So I think it's a very formal legal process that maybe a lot of people don't understand. And once you're faced with that court case, you know, you sort of have to start making a deal with your landlord, and you do that in this sort of informal conversation outside the courtroom with them. And if you kind of can't reach a deal right then and there, you know, outside the courtroom, you go to trial and it's up to a judge. And so I have heard from some tenants that it feels like a process that's designed to pressure them. And then from the on the other side, you know, if you're a landlord and you have a need to get someone out or to kind of force someone to start paying rent or something, yeah, it's leverage. You know, you file a case and you get this formal forum in which you're finally, you know, able to use the law to force this person to start doing something that you need them to do. And so, you know, it's a formal process and it's there for a reason. But, you know, many people do feel that, especially on the tenant side, that it is kind of imbalanced, especially because most of them show up without lawyers.
Why is that? Because you mentioned there's not enough attorneys to represent tenants.
Yeah. Most of the tenants' attorneys work for legal aid organizations, which are generally a bit understaffed. But it's expensive to hire a lawyer. And most people who are renting don't have that kind of income for that.
Does an eviction always mean that someone will lose housing, or are there less severe outcomes?
No, you don't. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get locked out of the house, but it does kind of start this court process, as I mentioned. And so you can reach an agreement with your landlord when you're in court to either, you know, maybe you can set up a payment plan and agree, okay, I'll pay this amount by this certain date and then I can stay. Or a lot of people also have an agreement where they settle and they agree to move out by a certain date. And that's known in the kind of tenant world as informal evictions. And a lot of those happen too. It's really hard to see from our numbers how many ended in a formal lockout versus ended in one of those agreements. And then also it's hard to tell when somebody does reach one of those agreements, you know, if they're able to meet it and if they're able to stay or not, like what the outcome of that agreement is too. So it is sort of hard to tell from the numbers, but there's a number of different outcomes. Some of them can involve staying. Some of them can involve agreeing to move out.
Mm. Yeah, are there still programs available, any resources or support locally or statewide?
For the most part, the statewide rental assistance program, you had to apply by March of last year for rental arrears, like before that. And then they are still processing those applications too. Like, not everybody has gotten their money from that program, and a lot of people are still waiting for it. But most of that aid was all tied to the pandemic and has largely run out or is on track to run out.
Jeannie, thank you so much for your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
Jeannie Kwong is a reporter with CalMatters, sharing her reporting on the dramatic rise in eviction filings across California over the past year since the expiration of pandemic-era relief programs. Still ahead, if you enjoy curling up to a good book, NPR has come out with its annual Books We Love Selections, and it's an interactive guide. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.